This is the KHMB Radio Magazine. Community news, information, features, and entertainment. The KHMB Radio Magazine is brought to you by
Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees and fresh baked goods.
And by Cameron's Restaurant, Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's, your home away from home.
And by Kibbles and Gifts, your one stop for pet supplies on the coastside.
And by Shepherd Family Dentistry. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
Following the November 5th elections, there are two new members of the Cabrillo Unified School District School Board waiting to be sworn in. What are their goals and what challenges lie ahead for the school district? We pose those questions first to newly elected school board member Brianna LaFontaine. Well, first of all, let me congratulate you on the election.
Thank you.
And now the real fun begins, because pretty soon you'll be sworn in and you'll be doing your duties as a board member. I know that when you were running for this board member office, that you told people that you definitely had things that you felt needed to be addressed. Now, since you're going to be a board member, what are your goals and what is your plan to achieve them?
I'm looking forward to having open communication and transparency from the school board and being consistent with it. I know that has been a concern of the public, that it has felt that the decisions being made, what is being put on the table, hasn't been given enough time for the community to think about what is going on, having time to look at it. Part of just adding more communication and transparency is having time to think about what is being asked for the board to approve and the time for everyone to think about it. So one meeting, you would have a presentation on something that the board would like to be approved, and then you have the whole month until the next meeting to percolate with it and discuss with people and community members before it's voted on the following meeting. And I'm really excited that our interim superintendent has the same opinion on that. So I believe that will be an easy one to achieve as soon as I get in. And fiscal responsibility is something else I ran on. And we are in a very poor financial state right now in our district. And there are going to be cuts that have to be made, but I am excited to work with strong people in our district to make sure that is least impactful on our students and teachers in the classroom and staff, and that we can find ways to have a leaner district and keep moving forward with that so all of our students can continue to grow in education.
Do you think some of the financial impacts will be minimized since both of the bond measures passed, the bond and the partial tax?
The bond won't affect our general budget. The bond is only for buildings and technology. So we will be able to, you know, redo the high school. But the parcel tax passing, there it's an additional $500,000 per year. We had already had a $1.6 million parcel, and now it'll be $2.1. But that half a million is almost spoken for already. We're waiting to hear the exact numbers, because there will be a 2% pay increase for our CSEA staff. That is our non-credentialed staff, our classified staff. The district is in negotiations again with CUTA, our teachers, and the base of that negotiation will be 2% because the parcel tax passed. So that $500,000 is pretty much spoken for already. We still need to make cuts so that we can move forward in the black.
One of the things that I hear people talk about constantly is they would like a new swimming pool at the high school.
Yeah.
Do you ever see that happening?
Okay, so personally, yes. I am going to be very clear that I have not been sworn into this role yet. There are things that I know I don't understand. Even how much I have been involved, I know that there are parts of the board that I don't know yet. So what it takes to get a pool in, I'm going to have to learn. I am very hopeful that it can happen. With this bond, we definitely have the money. That is for sure. How to get the pool there, I can't promise that, because is it on the school site? You know, does it go somewhere else? How does that work? I don't know, but I am for a pool, and we will have to see how that plays out.
I mean, it could be a community pool, and if so, would it still be at the high school, but be a community pool during certain days and hours? I know that there's one young lady who actually volunteers here at the radio station as kind of an intern, and she's on the water polo team at the high school. And, you know, here they have to go and have a lot of their tournaments elsewhere. Many people say that they would love to see that whole situation rectified, and there certainly seems to be a need for it.
Absolutely, and it's something I will definitely be prioritizing and looking into. Now that the bond has passed, I was nervous about the bond, but we have a lot of money coming, so there are a lot of things that we can get done. Not everything, but I think when it comes to student and community focused items, we will be able to get those done.
Now, you were talking about transparency and openness. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you also invite people in the community to contact you and have conversations with you on a one-to-one basis? And if so, what's the best way for people to actually make contact with you?
Absolutely. That is a very good question on how to contact me. So I would like to wait until I'm sworn in and given an official district email address. My website for my campaign is still up, BriannaForCUSD.com, and it has contact information on there. I'm sure I will give out my cell phone number at some point, but I don't want...
But no calls at 3 a.m., please.
No calls at 3 a.m., and I don't want to overpromise or make any commitments until I fully understand and is sworn in for this role. There's still a standing school board that has 3 voting meetings left, and so right now it's on them, and then when I get in, we can have those conversations.
Well, listen, thank you so much for coming in. It was a pleasure visiting with you. And hopefully we'll have more conversations as you go down the journey of your new role as a board member. And remember, the radio station is a resource for the school district. So be sure to let everybody know that if they have things they want publicized, to send them our way.
I will. Thank you so much. And I look forward to many more of these conversations.
Another local member of our Coastside community joining the school board is Pete Cernica. First of all, let me congratulate you for your election. Welcome to your new office of responsibility.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm very excited to get started and see what we can do with my time in office.
Now, when you were running for office, of course, you had things that you told everyone that were important to you, things that you wanted to see changed or new things you wanted to see done. Now, since you're going to have that opportunity, share with our listeners a little bit about your priorities and how you hope to achieve them.
I think the very first priority will be to get the district on more stable ground. You know, when you run for an office like this, there are definitely things you don't know. And then when you win, you learn other things. And so one of the things I'm learning is that the district is shakier financial ground than I anticipated. So I think to begin with, we're going to have to address that. We're going to have to try and find a way forward, given the revenue that we have and the expenses that we're going to face. And that is going to, I think, in some ways delay my grander ideas for the district, but obviously a critical step that needs to take place. But once that happens, the thing that I'd like to spend my time on with the district is to make us more competitive in terms of other districts in the area. So despite the fact that we just gave our teachers a well-deserved raise towards the bottom in terms of teacher compensation, it's an issue. We lose a lot of great teachers, especially after year 5 and 6. So after they learn their profession, their experience, but on the pay scale, they're still relatively inexpensive for a district. We lose those teachers because other districts can offer far more money than we can. We also lose veteran teachers. So that's what I hope to do with my time.
Do you think some of the revenue pressure will be mitigated a little bit because we had the bond and partial tax measures approved?
Sadly, no. That is not the way that's going to play out. The parcel tax money is great, the increased money, but that money has essentially already been spent. So the agreement that the current board set up was that if the parcel tax passed, there would be these automatic pay increases kick in, including for the administrative staff. So the administrative staff are going to benefit the most from this parcel tax because the board agreed to a Me Too clause, meaning if the teachers get a raise, then the office administrators get a raise as well. So there won't be a lot of money left over, hardly any money left over from the parcel tax because of that agreement. Bond money is only used for infrastructure, so you can't use it to help you with your teacher pay gap. We hope to use that money to create first-class institutions in the district. So that will be good, and that will help us retain teachers for sure. But the bond and the parcel tax are not going to help us significantly move that needle in terms of teacher pay.
One of the things that some of the people are telling me, and I've heard, they're hoping that maybe some of that money can be used to give us a new community or give us a new swimming pool up at the high school. How do you feel about those odds?
Well, I need to get in and see the numbers, so I certainly am not going to make any predictions or promises here, but I know that is on people's minds. This is not going to come as a shock, but when I would talk to people in the community, I would say one of the top three things that came up over and over again was the swimming pool. So I know it's a priority for the community. It's a priority for me. You know, the district's interests have to come first, but I don't see any philosophical reason why we couldn't do something that would benefit the community and the district. It's a matter of having those conversations and seeing what can be done. A big issue with this, as anyone who's been following the pool will tell you, is where to put the pool. So it's not really appropriate to have a public pool on school grounds, given, you know, you don't want people coming in and out with children around, so on and so forth. That's not a great idea. So thinking about where would we place this thing? And then if the district was instrumental in providing funding, how do we do it so that the district would have priority and then our students would have access?
I know that one thing that has been said, and I think that maybe you also concurred with this, is the need for transparency and greater community involvement in decision-making that is done with the school board. To that end, if people wanted to talk to you, communicate with you, share their ideas with you, how could they do that? Is there a way people can reach out to you?
Once I get on the board, people will be able to reach out to me through the district email. But in addition to that, I plan on continuing the tradition that I had throughout the campaign of meeting people at local places like Cafe Society in the morning before I go to work. So not everyone understands this is not a paid position. It's a voluntary position, and I have a career as a college administrator, so I work 9 to 5 like everyone else.
Of course, want to encourage all people to do that because it's so easy sometimes to not get involved, and that's a challenge not only for the school board, I'm sure, but also for city council. I've seen so many meetings where basically the only person in attendance is the janitor, you know. But anyway, thank you so much for taking some time from your busy day to talk with us and our listeners. Now, remember, we are a community radio station. We are a resource for you and other members of the community that serve us. Keep in touch. Don't be a stranger.
I appreciate the opportunity, and yeah, well, I'll definitely come on again. Thank you.
Newly elected school board members Brianna LaFontaine and Pete Cernica reflect on their goals and challenges that lie ahead for the Cabrillo Unified School District. For the feature story of the week, I'm Jim Henderson. And now it's time to join Cameron Palmer for yet another ride in the KHNB time machine. The dials are set for the year 1948. This is Community Radio for the Coastside, 100.9. KHMB Radio.
You've been listening to the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. Know someone who deserves to be recognized in the community? Call us today at 453-4000 or email us news@khmbradio.com.
This is Radio Magazine, a community service of KHMB AM 1710 and KHMV 100.9 FM.
And now, the AM 1710 Time Machine with host Cameron Palmer.
It's 1948. What are things like on the coastside back then? Well, checking the archives of the Half Moon Bay Review,
two from the coastside elected to Harbor Commission, aside from President Truman's sweeping re-election to office of President of the United States by defeating the Republican nominees Dewey and Warren, the Coastside's most vital interest centered around the outcome for election of Harbor Commissioner. Final tabulations found. Two Coastside residents, Nate Johnson of Princeton and H.N. Clark of Miramar, chosen to the board of 5 members, which will guide the destiny of the Pillar Point Breakwater. These jobs are a non-salaried elected post. Navy plane lands at the Coastside Airport. A Navy airplane on flight from San Diego to Oakland, made a forced landing at the Half Moon Bay Airport. The plane was running low on fuel and was unable to land anywhere bayside due to very, very thick fog. San Mateo County Road nears completion after nearly 4 months of work, which was delayed by shortages of gasoline caused by the recent refinery strike. The contractor has announced that the San Joaquin to the Sea Highway, also known as Highway 92, will be completed in about 2 weeks. Now for a little history in the making from my restaurant, Cameron's Pub. Greetings, Coastsiders. I'd like to do a recap following our huge pumpkin festival, as many ask me every day, how did it go? I can say this year went exceptionally well with no major incidents. Saturday was record crowds, and Sunday was a bit lighter, but it was certainly enjoyable for all who came. The weather was perfect. The parade welcomed Grand Marshal, four-time All-Star, third baseman Matt Williams. What a gentleman. He brought his whole family, and he was on the giant pumpkin display, and all the people and all the Little Leaguers rode with him during the great pumpkin parade. The winning giant pumpkin was on display for photos grown by Travis Ginger of Minnesota, who well earned the big prize of 2,417 pounds, taking home money of approximately $23,000, and for making the trip all the way intact from Minnesota. He spent about $2,000 in gas, I must tell you that. We had an awesome musicians on all four stages, 265 arts and craft booths, plus our great additional Made on the Coast artists on Sunday. Most of you listeners know that the proceeds from all these efforts go to our local nonprofits in our own community. Thank you for supporting this annual effort. Keep calm and pumpkin on. The economy is beginning to take off now since the war is over. So much so that there is a post-war housing problem and prefab houses are introduced. Slowly, the fashions are becoming more daring with the bikini gaining in popularity. Also, due to demand and inflationary pressures, prices are raising, and many believe that the government should bring back some price controls. Televisions are appearing in more and more homes. In fact, 1 million households now own a TV. It was just 5,000 households 3 years ago. In world news, Israel is declared an independent nation. The United States and Great Britain begin a massive airlift for food, water, and medicine to the citizens of West Berlin following a blockade by the Soviets. In popular culture, the game of Scrabble is introduced, and top films include The Road to Rio and Easter Parade. In the music world, it's a kaleidoscope of styles. Left over from the war years are some of the big band sounds and dreamy love ballads. This is a top 10 hit from 1948, a young lass that started her career during those war years and is growing in popularity both on the records and in the movies. Here's Doris Day and It's Magic.
You sigh, the song begins. You speak and I hear violins. It's magic. The stars desert the skies and rush to nestle in your eyes. It's magic. Without a golden wand or mystic charms, fantastic things begin when I am in your arms. When we walk hand in hand, the world becomes a wonderland. It's magic. Can I explain? those rainbows when there is no rain. It's magic. Why do I tell myself these things that happen are all really true? My love for you. It's magic. It's magic. Why do I tell myself these things that happen are all really true? When my heart, I know the magic is my
In 1948, the war that had a new sound is being heard. The faint sounds of something that will one day be known as rock and roll. Here's Wyone Harris and Good Rockin' Tonight. This is Cameron Palmer thanking you for listening and inviting you to join us for another ride in the KHMB Time Machine.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
This is Radio Magazine, a community service of KHMB AM 1710 and KHMV 100.9 FM.
If I could talk to the animals.
It's time for Pet Patrol. Everything that pertains to our pets and animals. Pet Patrol is brought to you by Kibbles and Gifts, located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Safeway. Kibbles and Gifts is your one-stop shop for pet supplies and gifts on the coast side. Visit them online, kibblesandgifts.com. And now, your host for Pet Patrol, Krista Livingston.
I'd like to share a great story I just read by Mike Koepka. Being a commercial dog walker myself, this story is near and dear to my heart. Wearing a cowboy hat, purple-tinted aviators, and a sturdy pair of overalls, Wild Bill Peacock appears out of the fog in the sand dunes like a character in a psychedelic spaghetti western. He calls himself the Dog Wrangler and is happy to be surrounded by 8 unleashed canines. Armed with an iridescent orange tennis ball launcher and a rainbow array of leashes slung over his shoulder, he drives packs of dogs through the sandy terrain at Fort Funston 3 times a day. At roughly $25 a dog, Peacock has 2 main jobs: to make sure they all get their exercise, and to pick up after them when they relieve themselves. Picking up poo used to gross me out at first, but after 10 years I can have a sandwich in one hand and a bag of poop in the other, Peacock said, grinning. Peacock saw his roommate making a living out of dog walking and figured, I can do that. He spent some of his formative years in Montana, so the cowboy persona seemed a natural identity. His given name is William Burke Peacock, but the matching initials are a nice coincidence. Once he took the dive into dog wrangling, Peacock went from being a depressed, overweight company man to the energetic entrepreneur he is today. He may make it look easy, but Peacock says it's not. People have this image that it's just hanging out at the beach with your dogs. It's at least 50% driving, Peacock said, as he stopped to pick up a dog. Last year, he put 25,000 miles on his bright blue truck with its steer horns mounted on the top. Pet Patrol continues in a minute, but first, what's new at Kibbles and Gifts?
If we don't got it, you don't want it. Kibbles is located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Safeway. Come on in and take a look around. You can visit us online at kibblesandgifts.com or give us a call at 726-3700.
Now back to the show and Wild Bill Peacock. He's hardly alone at Fort Funston. Plenty of commercial dog walkers take advantage of the beachfront land controlled by the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. There's a strong sense of community. The walkers wave and call to each other by first names, and if a dog gets loose from a pack, they'll make a few fast calls and see that it's returned to its rightful minder. Peacock says the community is self-regulating. Most follow the unwritten rules on the dunes. They know to give each other packs space, especially at the drinking fountain, to avoid an ugly canine confrontation. To the uneducated viewer, it looks awful, Peacock said of a large pack. It looks like everything is totally out of control. But the whole idea of a pack is they sort of get a collective mind. They're no harder to control than one dog if you've got a good pack. The GGNRA isn't so sure. It's on the verge of imposing a dog plan for Fort Funston, Ocean Beach, Baker Beach, Crissy Field, and other federally controlled areas that will require professional dog walkers to buy a $300 permit, show proof of liability insurance, and limit their packs to 6 dogs. Many commercial dog walkers are unhappy with the proposed plan and have said so during a public comment period that ends Monday. Peacock says he's fine with some of the proposed rules, but not the 6 dog limit. What gives the National Park Service the right to make these decisions for all dog owners in the Bay Area, he asked. No one gets to vote on it. I thought we were supposed to vote on things in this country. I'm pretty sure that my business can adapt, but I don't know that every dog owner has that same flexibility. This is basically the last days in the unregulated Wild West of dog walking. Until next week, this is Krista Livingston with Kibbles and Gifts and Kibbles Pet Care.
If I could talk to the animals.
Pet Patrol is a regular feature of KHMB Radio. If you have an animal-related announcement, just call us at 453-4000 or email us pets at khmbradio.com.
Pet Patrol has been brought to you by Kibbles and Gifts, located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Safeway. Kibbles and Gifts is your one-stop shop for pet supplies and gifts on the Coastside. Phone them at 726-3700 or visit them online, kibblesandgifts.com.
This is Radio Magazine, a community service of KHMB AM 1710 and KHMV 100.9 FM.
This is Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show featuring guest hosts speaking on a variety of health-related issues. Keeping Pace with Your Health is brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. And now, this week's guest host.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henderson, registered dietitian, bringing you some more information on the flu for this week's health report. While people were first being offered the flu vaccine in November, it is still not too late to get vaccinated, as the flu season typically peaks in February and can last as late as May. For millions of people, the flu can mean a fever, cough, sore throat, runny or stuffy nose, muscle aches, fatigue, and miserable days spent in bed. While anyone can get the flu, some people are at greater risk for flu and complications like pneumonia. These people at greater risk include children younger than 5 years old, especially those younger than 2 years, pregnant women, people with certain medical conditions like asthma, diabetes, or heart and lung disease, and people over 65 years old. If you care for anyone in these high-risk groups, or if you care for infants younger than 6 months old who can't get the flu shot, it is important for you to get the flu vaccine to help keep both yourself and them healthy. Dr. Andrew Duxbury, an associate professor in gerontology at the University of Alabama School of Medicine, explains why the flu can pose such risk for seniors. When older people get the flu and get knocked down further, they are more likely to get other infections, such as pneumonia. Being knocked into bed, he says, for as little as 3 to 4 days can, in a frail older person, make it so they lose the ability to walk and do for themselves. It can cause a spiral in disabilities and increased chance of falls or injuries. Prevention is the best defense. Seniors and their caregivers should get a flu shot, wash their hands regularly, and avoid crowds, Duxbury recommends. He also recommends some advice if seniors get the flu. Stay hydrated. Appetite and thirst mechanisms, he reports, are different in older people. They can tip over to dehydration in less than a day if they don't keep their fluids up. Seniors with the flu need to get out of bed at least a little bit. It's better for their lungs and helps avoid pneumonia. He recommends if seniors have shortness of breath, a cough that produces mucus, or a fever higher than 101 to contact their doctors. After a word from our sponsor, Dr. Ray Shepherd, I'll return with some nutritional tips to help prevent the flu.
This is Dr. Brian Shepherd. Do you snore or have trouble sleeping? If so, you may have obstructive sleep apnea. If untreated, obstructive sleep apnea can lead to stroke, heart problems, high blood pressure, and diabetes. Shepherd Family Dentistry can arrange a home sleep study connected with a specialized MD for diagnosis and customize a discrete appliance to alleviate symptoms and provide restful sleep. We can bill medical insurance and Medicare. If you would like to learn more, call us at 726-3355 or visit us at shepherddentist.com. You can get a good night's sleep, and I would like to show you how.
Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, phone 726-3355. Shepherd Family Dentistry,
where we bring your smile to life.
Besides getting a flu shot and avoiding handshakes, how can you pump up your immune system to keep the flu away? Experts at the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics suggest the following smart food choices can boost your immune system. Start with protein. Lean meat, poultry, seafood, eggs, beans, and soy products can help build your defenses. Vitamin A works to protect you from infections by keeping your skin, respiratory system, and body tissues in your mouth and stomach healthy.
For vitamin A food sources, choose colorful sources like carrots, kale, spinach, sweet potatoes, and red bell peppers. Vitamin C can boost immunity and helps you form antibodies that fight off infections. Citrus fruits of all kinds are a great source of vitamin C. Nuts are packed with vitamin E, which works as an antioxidant, neutralizing free radicals. Including some almonds or sunflower seeds will provide some zinc, which also helps your immune system to work properly and helps wounds to heal. Zinc is also found in lean beef, crab, black-eyed peas, and tofu. Choosing foods rich in these nutrients will help fight infections and may help prevent illness. Call it Flutrition. For this week's health report, I'm Kathy Henderson, hoping you will stay well and flu-free.
This has been Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show devoted to important health topics. Keeping Pace with Your Health has been brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
This is Radio Magazine, a community service of KHMB AM 1710 and KHMV 100.9 FM.
Father Carousel! Father Carousel!
Coastside Carousel. The show devoted to spotlighting the groups and artists that make up our local musical entertainment community.
Coastside Carousel is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Cameron's, good food and good times for the entire family.
Hi, everybody. This is Kelly Morlock on Coastside Carousel. We have a really fun show for you this week. We're going to go with current events that are also very traditional. I'm talking about that perennial fall favorite, the big game. Cal is playing Stanford for the 127th time over at UC Berkeley this year. It goes back and forth, as any football fan would know. And it's been a really interesting and exciting year for Cal football. And I guess maybe Stanford. I don't know. There's been a lot going on with Cal, though. We'll get started with that in just a minute. But first, of course, we need to thank our sponsor, Cameron, of Cameron's Restaurant, Pub, and Inn. He does a great job giving us a place to watch Cal football and all the other football games that you love to watch, the other sports you like, and hearing the great music that you love with Ari's Open Mic every Thursday. And you get to be the star Fridays and Saturdays at karaoke. Cameron, thanks for creating a great space for people to hang out, have a good time, enjoy good food and drinks, and the beauty of the coastside. All right, I'm going to play a little something that college football fans might be familiar with, at least some on one part of the bay. And we'll tell you a little bit more about it on the other side.
You know it. You tell the story. You tell the whole day. I said, you know it. What? You tell the story. What? You tell the whole damn world.
This is
I like this place.
That's right, everybody. This is Bear territory. What you just listened to was College Game Day that came to California, UC Berkeley, for the very first time. And it's all about the big college games going on every Saturday. And it was a pretty big deal. This is the first year that Cal has not been part of the Pacific Athletic Conference. It is now gone. The Pac-12 is no more. Well, at least not in California. And both Cal and Stanford went to the ACC, which is the Atlantic Coast Coast Conference, now snarkily called the All Coast Conference. And so it's been a big deal for Cal getting exposure across the country. So what's really cool about that is all of the country is now Bear territory. We're really excited. There's been a lot of crazy things going on, but like I said, College Game Day came to Cal, and that was the guy on College Game Day leading the crowd at 6 in the morning or 8 in the morning, something like that, in our chant. You know it. You tell the story. You tell the whole damn world this is Bear territory. Anyway, we're going to play a Cal fight song now to celebrate. Actually, this is Fight for California by the Cal California Marching Band, and this show's all about Cal and the big game. Hi, this is the Coastside's biggest Cal fan, Kelly Morlock on Coastside Carousel, and we just listened to the University of California Marching Band and Fight for California. We're celebrating a long-standing tradition here in the Bay Area called the Big Game between Cal and Stanford, their college football teams, and the 127th matchup between these two schools is happening on Saturday, November 23rd over at UC Berkeley, and I'm so excited. It's going to be great. If anybody doesn't know about this tradition, it has been going on for some time, and one of the most famous plays ever in college football, could be the most famous play, happened at a Cal-Stanford game back in 1982. Joe Starkey was the TV announcer. Maybe it was radio. I don't know. I think it was TV because they're showing video along with these clips. And I actually got to go meet him when Cal played Auburn not too long ago. And he was in our reception the night before the game. And he also was at the Jimmy Carter Museum in Atlanta where everybody was staying for the Auburn game. And just the nicest guy in the world. It was so much fun traveling with Cal and all the fans to the football games. So we've been having a lot of fun doing that as part of the ACC this year. But for historical perspective, and actually it's really cool, this was at the College Football Hall of Fame. You could actually sit in, and they had this actually going at that Hall of Fame in Atlanta. It was super cool. So we're going to play you now the most famous play in college football, simply entitled The Play.
What a recovery by Stanford. You have to give them all sorts of credit. Fourth and 17 at their own 13-yard line, and defeats Derryman in the face, and they saved it. They pulled it out. What a show. All right, here we go with the kickoff. Harmon will probably try to squib it, and he does. Ball comes loose, and the Bears have to get out of bounds. Rodgers along the sideline. Another one. At midfield, they tried to do a couple of. The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's going into the end zone. Will it count? The Bears have scored, but the bands are out on the field. There were flags all over the place. Everybody's milling around on the field. And the Bears have won. Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football. California has won the big game over Stanford. Oh, excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it in the history of I've ever seen any game in my life. The Bears have won it. There will be no extra points.
Have you ever heard anything more exciting? I don't know if I have. Oh, my goodness. Actually, that was my very first big game. And, yes, I was very young, very, very young. And that was Cal pulling it out. They had just gone ahead in the game, and it was so exciting. And John Elway was playing for Stanford. There was a minute, less than a minute and a half left in the game, and somehow John Elway pulled it out, and they went down and scored, and so they went ahead in this very close big game. So first, the Cal fans were rooting like crazy, and we couldn't believe how amazing it was, and then the Stanford fans are rooting like crazy, and we were totally devastated. But there was one more play. This was the kickoff, and they miffed the ball, and you heard the rest is history. We had no idea what was going on until they shot off the cannon, which is what they do every time we score. And pandemonium after that. We kept John Elway from ever going to a bowl game. Sorry, yeah, diehard Cal fan here. Anyway, we're going to play another song by the Cal Band. This is Big C that they play at every game. And if you have any questions about Cal football games, let me know. I'm happy to answer them. This is the University of California Marching Band, Big C. That was the song Big C by the University of California Marching Band. We're celebrating the big game this week between Cal and Stanford. And the lyrics to that song are about our dazzling sea, and when we serpentine, the Stanford's red will turn to green in our hour of victory. And then everybody goes, grrrah, 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 because that is a bear, right? Grrrah. It's a bear cheering for the Bears. Anyway, we're excited about the Cal game coming up November 23rd at UC Berkeley. You can go to calfootball.com and get tickets if you'd like, or give me a call. I'm happy to help. Well, actually, it might be hard to get tickets this year because we're doing so well. That's the next part of this fun show, is there's so much going on with Cal now being part of the ACC. Cal football fans aren't used to doing very well. We kind of make fun of ourselves. We're kind of snarky about our own selves. And we got to expose that to the rest of the country with this playing football at Auburn. I know they're part of the SEC, but that was a big deal when we beat Auburn. And then we're starting our ACC games, and we're going into Florida, and we're going to North Carolina, and all these places on the East Coast that aren't familiar with Cal and our silliness. And something in Twitter, now called X, took off. And you know what an algorithm is? It's, you know, stuff that gets fed and the online AI, blah, blah, blah. Well, something called the Calgorithm started up, and it was just about us making fun of ourselves. And when we beat Auburn, somebody called, what was her name? I can't remember her name right now, but one of the Twitterverse people created a meme that said, "You just lost to the woke agenda." And like I said, we make fun of ourselves. We're just leaning into us being West Coasters, the rest of the country thinking we're crazy. And we're like, yep, we are. Why not? Too much fun. And it just took off. And it got College Game Day eventually to come to Cal, because they just noticed that, you know, things were going on. And we had just beaten Auburn, and University of Miami was coming out to play. They were number 8 at the time, and they were the longest traveling team for a regular conference game, because we're part of the other coast conference now. So they decided to come out, and one of the songs that might have made that happen is this takeoff and play of Hot to Go by Chapel Roan, and they just did a parody of it. Actually, they rewrote the words and hired a singer named Mickey out of Europe to sing this. So we're going to listen now to Ought to Go, because Jared Ott is one of our badass running backs. Here's Ought to Go. O-T-T-T-O-G-O. That's Jaden Ott. We want him to go because he's hot to go. This is Kelly on Coastside Carousel, and we are celebrating the Cal-Stanford big game coming up on November 23rd at UC Berkeley. And that song probably helped get us College Game Day coming to UC Berkeley for the first time ever. And the hosts there had a great time. And Jaden Ott is an amazing football player. Cal has some awesome players this year, and he is a kick-ass running back, just goes, goes, goes. I think he's the fastest in the ACC. So the Twitterverse just had fun with that. It's a Chapel Roan song that they put new words to and hired a singer called Mickey to sing. Anyway, and the Calgorithm, it became college football's newest obsession because it was just obsession because it was very entertaining. All right, we're going to get a little more traditional again now. And this is a group called Noteworthy. It's an a cappella men's group from UC Berkeley. Back in my day, they were called the Men's Octet. And then, you know, I was always singing. I'd sing in the Cal Jazz Choir or the Cal Glee Club, blah, blah, blah. But this is just another version of Fight for California with the words this time by Noteworthy. All right, that was Noteworthy, an a cappella group from UC Berkeley singing Fight for California. And we are now in the singing part of our show. We had a bunch of band songs, and now we're singing again, because that's what I like to. We're celebrating the 127th matchup of Cal versus Stanford football, and the Bears being a great team this year. I mean, okay, our record doesn't show it that much, but we're having a lot of fun, and it's definitely been an exciting year for Cal football. So we're happy about that. And it's also even more fun when our good players are back in action. We've got a really cool quarterback named Fernando Mendoza. He keeps winning all these online polls by the fans. We've got Javian Thomas, who's, 503 yards, rushing yards. We have Jaden Ott, who's healthy again, and he's one of the fastest running backs in the ACC. And then we have the number one interceptor in college football, Noel Williams, and he's just off the hook. It's amazing. So college football, Cal football has been a lot of fun this year. I'm back into it. I'm thrilled about it. Been traveling across the country. As I said, we're going to continue our vocal singing portion of the show. And this is the Cal drinking song. Enjoy. The lucky stiffs they had for fifths, a six-pack too of homemade brew. And there's more to that song. This is Kelly Morlock, Coastside Carousel. We are celebrating the Cal-Stanford big game, 127th matchup coming up on November 23rd. And yes, I went to Cal, huge Cal fan, been having a really good time playing with Cal football fans this year. And we actually did sing that song regularly while I was going there. Lots of fun. Anyway, I'm going to take you guys out with something that is about a bear. Not necessarily a Cal bear, but maybe. It's from a band based in Chico called the Mother Hips, and they come down to OPL regularly, and I've just become a huge fan of them, and this song always makes me smile. So roll on, you bears. Thanks for listening and putting up with my fandom. Hope you are doing great, having a great time right now, and if nothing else, I hope this made you smile. So this is the Mother Hips and their song called The Time Sick Son of a Grizzly Bear. And let's rock on, everybody. Thanks again for all you do. Stay well.
Listening to Coastside Carousel, featuring the music and artist of our local entertainment community. For suggestions and comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us carousel@khmbradio.com.
Coastside Carousel has been brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Visit Cameron's at cameronsinn.com.
You have been listening to the Radio Magazine, heard daily on KHMB. If you have suggestions or comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us magazine@khmbradio.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Joseph Story is one of the most important names in American jurisprudence. Not only was he placed on the U.S. Supreme Court by President James Madison, but he also founded Harvard Law School and authored numerous legal works on the Constitution. While today's revisionists claim that the goal of the First Amendment was absolute religious pluralism, Justice Joseph Story vehemently disagreed. He declared, "The real object of the First Amendment was not to encourage, much less to advance, Mohammedanism or Judaism or infidelity by prostrating Christianity, but was to exclude all rivalry among Christian denominations." According to founder Joseph Story, Christianity, not pluralism, was the goal of the founding fathers in the First Amendment, for only a Christian nation is tolerant and thus is truly pluralistic.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.